for protecting that thing
has already come about.
Yes. So some of you are shivering straight at some of the things I say. Some of you all, not all of you. I know many of you feel the way I do. You speak the way I do. You have no problem with what I'm doing. In fact, you identify as one in what I'm doing. I know that. And some of you are that are here, and you are my color, you should understand that we have friends and company from other colors. I mean Imam Deputy Muhammad. Have friends and helpers, supporters from other colors. Silent partners. Yes, God's work is protected by God. And this is God's work. A sincere work done to change the pitiful situation of the masses of people is loved by God. Every man who stood up to sincerely do something to salvage the remaining life that is in the masses of people from the clutches, evil clutches of the world, God is with them. Always. So any of you all who have fear on you, I understand. No, look, the best insurance is God. And I'm a living proof. I am. Not that I'm the only one, but I'm here. I might as well show you myself. I'm a living proof that God is the best insurance. Now, I didn't come to tell you that. So I'm not going to go into the details of that. All I say is go retrace my tracks. Study my life from child to now. Go question friends that I lived among, my neighbors, in the different parts of the city of Chicago that I live among. Ask them about me. Ask them what they know about me. And learn about me from them. Learn about me from my family. Learn about me from my wife and children. Learn about me from those who are with me now. And if you learn all about me and can't see that God is the best insurer, you ain't meant to be saved. And I'm not the only one. There are many examples like that. You can find men and women in the world that if you study their life, study their experiences and their trials and tribulations and how they have stood together, what I mean intact, together with themselves, in themselves, how they have kept their life intact and how they have survived situations that looked like was hopeless. And escape the miseries that most people meet. Yes, escape it. Yes, the blessing of God. If you have a good heart, you have good intentions, you don't have no wickedness or no wicked purpose, God is with you. Now, you might not appreciate the philosophical views that I appreciate. But I think this philosophical perception is really what makes the difference between the living and the dead, the successful and the failures. I think that's what makes the difference. Some of us think that man wasn't great and didn't have great society and didn't have great nations until modern science. The great world began with the philosophers. And the philosophers had great institutions of learning. And they also had industrial
establishments.
They had trade and commerce. Huh? They paid roads, built skyscrapers. A lot of us don't know that. So they didn't have 747, did they? Not that I know of. A lot of things that have been accomplished with modern science are really astounding, we have to admit. But 100 years from now, the things that we pride ourselves with may be of hardly any value at all. Just like the great monuments of ancient Egypt, the great science of the ancient pharaohs, their doctors and learned men passed away. How long do you think the great achievements of modern Western man will survive if his son sets? And it appears from every angle that the sun of the Western man's intellect has set already. He's just struggling with a dying life. Yes. The hope now is in other people, the Asians, and it should be in you. You haven't had a chance. Yes, the hope should be in you. Not that the white man is going to go suddenly down to the last step or the bottom rail. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is, every side points to the setting of their sun. That their light is getting dimmer, and other lights are competing with their light, and from every appearance, seem like their light is going to lose place to the light of other people. Already, the industry have been eclipsed by Japan, Korea, and a few other small nations. Yes. In fact, the future for them seems so hopeless that they have already given up. Trying to keep leadership in industry for the American people. Yes, they've already given up. Their strategy now, from putting their eggs in many baskets, are investing in the international world and allowing the international world to invest in America. That's the strategy for continued life for the American society, right? That's the strategy. And if you read, if you listen to the news, if you're serious-minded, I'm sure you know that. So it's a new day and new opportunities. And unless the ignorant people, when I say ignorant here, I don't mean some of you all are much more intelligent than white people that's running big things. But you cheated. You cheated. He has a sense of reality and his place in it that you don't have. So his sense of reality and his place in it is a motivation in his life and you need motivation. And all it takes is a pretty woman or a little dust in the nose, and the poor black achiever is finished. Because he doesn't have a motivation that's stronger as an intoxicant than coke. My motivation is stronger than coke. Coke can't do nothing for me. That stuff is too weak. Should my sense of place in the cosmic reality and sense of place at home on earth, knowledge of my purpose, my aim, my destiny that God created me for, oh, it's so much more valuable, so much more important. Shoot, it places such value on my intellect that to take some dust and put it in my nose, to interfere with the normal functioning of this kingdom, hell no! And devious nations, competing nations, they have always used human weakness to bring down their competitor. Competing nation will go and play and pretend to be paying homage to their competitor and bring all the pretty whores in the kingdom. And the leaders of the government that they're in competition with, they start getting up, go to bed with one of the whores, man, and never wake up. Or either they will sell them on habits, foolishness. You know, the Christian African American, if you look in the Bible carefully, you can come up with a lot of help for yourself. I read this statement in the Bible, and I said, how come more blacks are not giving this as a word of caution to our people? If they're Christians, they should be using it, the helpful guidance that's in their religion for their people. It's much better to say, are you saved? It's much better for you than to ask me, am I saved? Do you love Jesus Christ? Do you love the Lord Christ? You know, it's much better for you to say something else than to say that to me. I don't love my mother. I don't love my father. I don't love my brothers and sisters. I don't love myself. And you come ask me I love Jesus. Pardon me. Please be a friend. You know, so, you know, I have all the respect for Christ Jesus, but not this poor image of Christ Jesus that the American public has. Oh, do you love Jesus? Have you been born again? Is Christ your personal Savior? We can help each other much better by saying, my people are destroyed by wine and song. Huh? Yes. And that's the truth. Entertainment. Foolishness, wine, intoxicants, playfulness, songs and dance dominate the life of the black city man. Am I right or wrong? It's plain. You know, we don't have to argue about this. It's just plain. Everybody recognizes the truth right away. The black city man's life is dominated by foolishness, entertainment, and dissipating pleasures that dissipate his valuable resources. That's what he's dominated by. Now how in the world can we compete with learned society, with the new Asians that's coming in? How can we compete with them when they have great traditions, strong family traditions, strong disciplines in their life? that dictate their behavior as a group. Not as an individual only, but they got philosophy and discipline that govern their behavior as a group. There's a limit to how far the Japanese, the Chinese, and other races and nationalities as a group, there's a limit to how far they go in indulging themselves in this dissipating pleasure thing. No! They drink that wine very carefully and in small doses. But we live for it. We work 5 days a week and to spend all our check on it. Now, I know you heard this before, but as long as this problem exists for the ignorant masses, we have to work on the problem. We have to address the problem. My people are destroyed by wine and song. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. These are sayings from the Bible. This is what the preacher should be saying. Preacher ought to come to this pulpit and say, amen. My people are destroyed by wine and song. My people are starved for a lack of knowledge. Amen. Pass the bucket. Let's go home. But instead, he's going to cater to your weaknesses. He's going to give you some church wine and church songs and play it until you go crazy out of your mind. He ain't satisfied until you lose your senses and just go limp in your seat. Then he think he really preached. He did preach. See, preach is a reach. P-R-E-A-C-H. Preach is a reach with a P preceding it. It's a reach. And a blind man, he reaches. He reaches for the thing. But if he want to teach, he should just say, my people are destroyed by wine and song. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. People, God go with you. Amen. Pass the bucket. What is the aim in bringing this concept to you and trying to get you to feel, to sense your identity in the cosmic reality? The freedom for you in the cosmic reality. Now, see, you don't understand that this idea has practical benefit. God has said to man that he created the universe and he placed man in the garden. And he charged man to keep the garden. He made him responsible for that wonderful environment. He made him a responsible being in that wonderful environment. Don't violate the order of this environment, but compliment it. Don't introduce contrary things, but build upon the wondrous thing that God has provided. This is what God charged the man with. Put him in that wondrous environment. And he told the man that he had made all of these things for his benefit, for his service. He made all of these things. The Bible says that he put all of these things under man. Our scripture saves us from the pitfall in that kind of idea by telling us, no, God didn't put you over all these things, but God made all of these things to yield benefit to you. He has sakhara. He has made these things to yield their treasures, their benefits to you. The fish in the sea, the Bible says, right? The waters and the land and everything, the air and the things above,
This is what the Bible says.
And our scripture says, same, but without the pitfall. It even says that he has sakha shams. The sun. We read about it. He has made the sun to yield its benefits to you. To yield benefits to you. And now we see it. It's practical. That's cosmic man. When God tell me that he made resources for me, as far as I can see, sun, climate, rain, fertile winds, plants, animals, mountains, treasures in the earth and in the sea. Allah says in this book, my God, my maker, says in this book, he made all of that to yinder, surrender, yield, benefits, service to me. That makes me cosmic man. My field of resources extend beyond the earth itself. It's practical. Because right now, industry is trying to utilize more and more sun energy to get away from the problems of gas and other fuels that pollute the air. Pollute the land and the water. Huh? Okay, so a long time ago, before man even thought of that, there wasn't strong evidence of the practical benefits in that philosophical concept of man. In fact, we can't even say it's simply philosophical anymore, can we? You can't today say it's simply philosophical. Philosophical means it has wisdom, it has logic, therefore it has benefit. It has reality, it has relationship, it has place in connection with you, therefore it has benefit. That's simple way of saying what philosophy says. But we can't limit it no more to purely philosophical concept. It has practical benefit, proven benefit. You need to expand your mind and accept what Allah says about you. Allah is our creator. Allah is our maker. We have to accept what he says about us. And Allah says more about Radhisuddin Muhammad, more about Radhisuddin Muhammad. Allah says more about me than Western science. Western science identify me with the animal, with the monkeys. Some scientist says there's an evolution, an unexplained change in the evolution of man up from ape and monkey. Some scientific viewpoints of Western man say that a freakish thing occurred, that the human being as we know the human being now is a product of a freakish thing that occurred in nature. So they say we are a product of a fault in nature. Now, isn't that kind of thinking the same that we find in the so-called true interpretation or true reading of the Bible? Man born conceived in iniquity, born in sin, not fit as God created him. Therefore, he has to be born again of the divine. He has to be God-man in order to save man. He cannot just be man and be a type for man's salvation. He must be God-man, to save man. Oh, buddy, I'm telling you, this kind of stuff on the minds of people keep them servants. And don't look to me. I'm speaking nothing but what God has revealed. So here we are, caught up in the entrapment, entrapped by white man's racial arguments. African Americans carrying a terrible identity problem, an identity crisis. He can't come up with a comfortable view of himself. I'm black, and he tries to live with that. Tell me, what is the difference in saying I'm black and saying I'm Negro? What is the difference? I'll tell you the difference. You're saying you're black and don't know what you're saying. when you say you're Negro. Because Negro means black in Spanish. Right? Yeah, Negro means black in Spanish. So when we were calling ourselves Negro, we were calling ourselves black. But we were calling ourselves black without a knowledge. And why did we call ourselves Negro? Because the white man conditioned us to not call ourselves Africans. White man come over here from Europe, he doesn't say, I'm a white man. He doesn't say, I'm a white man. He only says, he's a white man when the subject of white and black comes up. White man doesn't come over here and say, I'm a white man. He says, I'm a Caucasian. A Caucasian means that he traces his origin to the area in Europe called the Caucasus Mountains. And many of them white, just as white as the Caucasian, will not call themselves Caucasian because they are not from that area. They don't trace their origin from that. So most of the whites will not say Caucasian, they will not say white. When they tell you who they are, they say, I'm Spanish. I'm Italian. I'm Greek. I'm Yugoslavian. I'm Albanian. Huh? Yes. That's what they tell, I'm German. And when they come over here and identify over here on this land, German American, French American, Italian American. Right? We the only one with an identity that goes no further than the rainbow. Now, isn't that a fact? Therefore, Jesse can lead all of us. One leader. Jesse. Jesse is enough for me. Not to reject Jesse. I don't reject him. The Reverend Jesse Jackson, I don't reject him. I think he's very useful. Perhaps more useful to the media and the white man than he is to us, but he's useful to us too. So now we've narrowed the concept down, coming closer to the real field of influence, the field of human influence. Though our field of human influence on the earth, that's where we will carry out most of our great tasks, most of our great tasks and achievements will be made on the earth, according to God's saying. You know, even if we go to the moon, where was the feat accomplished? On earth. You have to accomplish the feat on earth to get to the moon. You see? So, we may go out to the boundaries that God has invited us to go out to, and mind you, God also warns us. Say, any who seeks to steal a peep into the boundaries out there, if your intentions are not right, He has already set up guards out there, flaming stars and meters. Fire will strike you, will come against you out there. Now, we know that this is to be understood or interpreted, although we know that many intruders have been knocked down by shooting bodies, flaming bodies. So that happens too. In fact, science says that most of these bodies that are seemingly at rest in peace now in the cosmic reality survived great waves of bombardment from colliding bodies in the heavens. Well, there's another idea that we should come to that will make us stronger, prepare our inner conditions for greater tasks out here in the world. And that is the idea that heaven itself was not perfect and not permanent. You know, it's very clear
in both religions that heaven was created by Allah, but an adversary manifested in heaven and caused the fall of heavenly beings. We need to know that. See, we have these quick notions and quick ideas about things that ain't good enough. You got to listen to all that's being said of importance. Now, you want to go to heaven. Well, I don't want to go to heaven if the adversary is there. Because I know what he did to the elect. And I don't think I'm an elect yet. I hope to qualify one day to be one of the elects. But I'm not an elect, so I don't want to go there if he's still there. But according to both religions, he's not there anymore. He was rejected. He was rejected and cast down. In our religion, God says, get down from here with that attitude. This is no place for you. See, I like that kind of religion. God is God in our religion. Don't have no Satan, no adversary putting fear on the heavens. Say, what kind of behavior are you doing? This is the wrong place. Get you out of here. Now that's God. I love God. If I'm going to worship God, I have to appreciate God. I have to respect God. I have to feel that God doesn't have any competition. But when I look at the Western idea and see how weird things have to be done by the righteous in order to survive the schemes and plots of the devil, it makes me think that the devil is a god equal almost to the god of Christianity. They do. They make the God, the devil, almost equal to the God of Christianity. Now, don't feel that Christianity is your property. You were property, and they gave you their property, Christianity. We have to have the courage, the moral courage, to speak plainly and honestly to our African-American brothers and sisters and tell you that you will never be dignified in the eyes of the world until you stop identifying as a Christian following the white man's idea of Christianity. You have to come up with your own insights into the Bible and into Christianity. And you have to save Christianity from white supremacy. Then you will be respected. But until then, you will not be respected. And the best bet for you is to return to the religion that dignified Africa and have survived over there to be the major religion, the most predominant religion on that land till today. And it will survive and enlighten the intellect of the African as it did once. It will survive till it does that again. In fact, there's already a reawakening of the African man, the Islamic African man. You hear about the great kingdoms of Mali, the great learning center of Timbuktu, the greatness of Ghana in the days of Mansa Musa. That's Muslim. That's Muslim greatness. That's no heathen greatness. That's no black Hebrew greatness. That's Muslim greatness. And if it happened, most of them happen again. Slave, separate from your yoke. Take off your shackles, please. It's only psychological.
but there is a framework. There is a framework for
keeping you with that faulty psyche. And the framework is white Christianity. That's the main element for your blindness. White Christianity. Oh man, white Christianity. Christianity ain't white. By interpretation, maybe not. And I ain't talking about white as light. I'm talking about real white. I'm talking about pigmentation-wise, skin color-wise. It's white. And not only is it white, it's racist. Not only is it racist, but it is a white supremacist idea that make all the races closest to the white man in pigmentation, better than those distant from him in pigmentation. And the farther you get from his son of whiteness, pigmentation, the more you closer you get to inferiority of man. The man becomes more inferior as you go out from him. This is their idea. And it didn't come from science first, although it is a science. Early social sciences of America had that idea in it, that black people are inherently inferior. Social sciences had that idea in it. The documented proof. But it didn't come by that way first. Came by the way of scripture first. Misconstrued scripture. They saw the sons of Noah as types for the races. And Ham had a son, Canaan. And we descended from Ham, the line of Canaan. We're the Canaanites, the black dogs. I'm not making any jokes. I'm very serious. Why am I very serious? Because this is the thing that has shackled your mind. This is the thing that has sapped your, has dried up your initiative to compete with the white man in the world of excellence. This is the thing that hinders you more than any other thing. It's your world of reality, the context of reality that the white man has put you into. Well, you feel grateful for to him for opening up the church to you or for giving you his church. You feel grateful to him for letting you meet, become acquainted with Jesus. And Jesus that he gives you is the false Jesus. He is the temptation. He's the tempter, tempting you to come into the land of do-nothing. You know, it sounds so harsh. It's the truth. And if the truth is harsh, it must be accepted, no matter how harsh it is. Yes, he's a tempter, tempting you to come into the land of do-nothing. Put down your burden. Give up your worries. Just have faith in Jesus. Don't pile your treasures up on earth. Put it in the offering. Let it go up into heaven. You pile it up here, the thieves may get it. I'm telling you what they preach to us during slavery and after. Slave, obey your master. Don't steal his property. Now whose interest is that? That's the southern slave master's interest written into the scripture. The Bible doesn't say that Ham was black.
No, sir. Not
a word. It says that Ham was Egypt. But it says he had a son, Canaan. Right? Canaan, son. And he was cursed. Didn't say what color he was either. Say he was cursed to be a servant for his brothers.
a hewer of wood to cut wood, and a toter of water to tote water and cover. So that's menial labor, right? That's cheap, unskilled. That's the lowest labor. Any old ignorant son of a gun can do that. Now, according to their Bible, they say that a whole people were cursed to be reduced to that level, where they are servants of their brothers, to cut wood for their brothers and to tote water for their brothers. And then the Southern racist church came up and said that that was us, the black man. That's in their religion. And the Mormons just forgave us a little while ago, a few years ago. The Mormons say the blacks have suffered enough, so we're going to let them into our church. This is reality. But you can't break your allegiance. Well, suffer the consequences. Because time is running out. Time is running out. You cowards are going to face your day. Yeah, soon. Time is running out. The shame of you black people. Know that the white man has captured your resources, has tied up your potential, have enslaved your very potential. Your spirit and your will all captured in the white man's false idea of reality that he gives to you, that exalts him and puts you down. You buy it, and when somebody try to break the grip of that slavery on your mind, you resist it and try to shut your mind and tune them out and think of everything to justify you being lost to that false reality that the white man gave you to keep you a slave. So you should suffer. You should suffer. The most despicable race on this planet Earth today is the black man. There's no people, not even the American Indian, that look up to you. They say, well, why don't you say us? Aren't you included? Hell no, I'm not included. I'm a liberated man. I'm not included. Any American Indian that hear me speak, he respects me. I mean, respects me highly. But a lot of our people, they do not respect you. No people want to take your place. Ain't no people on this earth, not even the pygmies of Africa, want to take your place. Why? Because you are an artificial creation of the white man. Created for work when they need you, and limbo. Yeah, work in limbo. Say, well, we don't need them now. Limbo. And you know what the limbo is? It's bending backwards. Limbo, limbo, limbo. And going under a stick. God created you to use the stick as a staff, right? And you go under the stick. The backwards. Breech bird. Feet first. Head come out last. Now, I see we're not going to complete this today. So, the next occasion, we'll complete it. I'm going to try to conclude that I'm going to try to wrap it up at this point. So, I hope you've understood the philosophical value, if not the practical value, of seeing your identity first in the cosmic, unbounded reality. You know, the white man with his best telescopes.
Or the black men. Black men now, they can use their telescope too.
With the best telescopes.